edition.
Yeah. Good morning, Vietnam. Did you see that movie with the late, great Robin Williams? But hello and welcome to Big Ben and K Win. A win and you're in, lose and you're in Cabo edition of Big Ben and K Win. Live on nofilter.net. Each week, we broadcast on nofilter.net, Caffeine TV, YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts, audio podcasts, download, listen, and subscribe. Today, we're going to talk about the NBA. Last night, it was a rough one for the Lakers. I'm sorry. It was a rough one for the Warriors. Lakers squeaked by. But we're going to get into that, talk a little NFL draft and more. I'm Kay Wynn. He's Big Ben, and he will not let Keegan Murray score 32 points and hit 8 threes in a closeout game.
Whoa. You know, would they have tracking on lately? Jeff Bezos yacht? I think people would track it as a series of practice so people would know where he's going and where the yacht is. They're going to do the same thing for Klay Thompson's boat. It is leaving the Bay Harbor, and it's on its way to Cabo, as you said. Klay, his dog, Steph, and Draymond's on the banana boat behind him. End of a dynasty? Question for you. End of a dynasty.
It's sure looking like it. It's definitely the end of the big three era with Klay, Steph, and Draymond. I'll tell you who won't be on the boat. Mike Dunleavy or anyone in the Warriors front office. Because what I hear is Klay's not happy with how these contract talks have gone. And the Warriors aren't happy with what Klay has done on the court, especially last night. So, unfortunately, it's sad to see him go. I think the writing's on the wall. He will be missed. He got 4 rings for the Warriors. There'll be a statue one day. But just like Ray Allen, sometimes you have to move on and you got to win the thing somewhere else with someone else.
I'll be interested to see. Klay's got his own personality, his own character. He's his own character. And we've seen people go into what some would say early retirement. You know, most would look at them as they had juice left in them. But also we talked about legacy before, like what kind of legacy do you want to leave? Do you want to be known as the guy that won 4 rings? You know, has the record for most threes in a game, or do you want to be known as the guy that kind of stuck around too long? And it's tough to find a team. Obviously, only one team can win an NBA championship any given year. And if you want to get paid for how you're playing today or for how you've played in the past today, that doesn't work in most NBA organizations. So Klay's going to find himself maybe with a bigger boat and just say bon voyage to the NBA.
Here's where I'll disagree with that. From what I know about Klay Thompson, based on everything that I've read, he's a very competitive guy. And because he put up a goose egg last night and went 0 for 10 from the field, 0 for whatever from 3-point line, I don't think that's his last NBA game. What kind of contract will he get? It's probably going to be a one-year deal with a lot of incentives. I've heard Miami, potentially New York, but I think he's a California guy. I think he's going to end up somewhere with the Clippers, the Lakers, one-year deal, and then we'll see where he goes from there.
That's a lot of hours on his boat if he's going to drive it to Miami. I like your 1 year deal. Can he do it? Does he still have it? What does he want to do in the off season? You know, there's at this point, Klay's had some injuries. Obviously he's a Wazoo guy, so I love him. He's probably the best ever to come out of Wazoo to play in the NBA by far, bar none.
Warriors got to blow it up though. Klay, he's gone. CP3, that's $20 million. He's gone. I mean, Kuminga had ups and downs, but I just don't think they have the right formula.
They don't. I watched 2 plays of that game last night, and it was...
What did you see in those 2 plays?
CP3 passed it some guy in the mid-range. He jab-stepped, couldn't get back the guy, passed it back to CP3. CP3 took 2 dribbles, passed it back to him. That guy took 1 jab-step. Mid-range jumper, clank off the back of the iron, everyone went the other way. Like, that's to what you're saying. That's not the formula. CP3 looks smaller on the court last night than ever. Yeah, I don't know where he goes or what he does.
He might be on that boat with Klay.
Yeah, if I'm both those guys, I'd take a season off, to be honest, figure out what they want to do. But who knows what's going through their head. Klay, back to your competitive argument, like getting – you can go be competitive something else.
Yeah, like, but you just don't want your last game in the NBA to be 0 points. That's it. I'm just saying, sign a one-day contract with the Warriors, try to get like 10 points, and then right off to the sunset.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You don't want that to be on your Wikipedia page, that's for sure.
But the Lakers won last night, beat the Pelicans. Zion Williamson, your boy, my boy, got a personal chef. He's got a trainer. He's recommitted. He looked good in his first playoff game. 40 points, 11 assists. I'm sorry, 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, but did leave the game with 3 minutes left with a hammy. And I think that is the reason why, the only reason why the Lakers won. Zion looked tremendous, but the Pels lost. Now the Kings have to go to New Orleans to play the Pelicans for the 8 seed. And the Pelicans are 5-0 against the Kings this year. But we don't know if Zion's going to play.
Zion, from what I've seen, from what I've watched, from what I've heard, is playing a lot like he did back in Duke. Not a reckless abandon, but getting to the rim, using his body, you know, getting to the line. And, I mean, the Pelican supporting cast is kind of underground, pretty darn good. C.J. McCollum, on any given night, C.J. can put up 30. Brandon Ingram's a pretty darn good supporting Robin, too, if we're going to call Zion Batman. Who knows what's... That's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
That Kings game, I mean, winning your end type scenario.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. If Brandon Ingram would have played a little bit better, if they would have hit some extra buckets, I think they would have won. It really was only Zion. Jose Alvarado was a spark. He disrupted some offensive plays. He got into the lane, made some key passes, but they need some of their other guys to step up if they're going to win against the Kings, especially if Zion is banged up.
Who wins that game?
I'm going Kings. I don't think Zion is going to be ready. I mean, he had to be in serious pain to not come back into the game. So I think he's going to be hobbling a little bit. I don't think Ingram's all the way back. He missed a lot of time. I think the Kings are riding the beam. Light the beam. Keegan Murray. Did you see him last night?
I didn't.
We witnessed the next step for Keegan Murray. He shot the three in his rookie year. This year, when they closed out strong, he would leak to the basket finish. He was the Kings' best player. In fact, he was the best player on the floor last night. Keegan Murray is making me wonder if they're going to sign Malik Monk. I think they're going to build around Keegan Murray. Here's my prediction next year. Okay. Bold prediction right here. Keegan Murray will be an all-star. Sabonis is great, but he's going to take a step back. Keegan Murray's going to take a step forward. And De'Aaron Fox is great, but he's just going to distribute. He's going to be the number two. Keegan Murray's going to be the one.
So you say that's the trio right there. Moving forward, Murray, yep. Fox, Sabonis.
And they got a guy, Keon Ellis from the G League. He looked great. How come the Warriors can't get anyone from the G League or in the draft?
I want to see your shirt. So the backstory here, we went to a Sacramento Kings game. And how many of those players are actually left? One?
Young Super None? Team. One. Only one. I don't know which one's De'Aaron Fox. I think De'Aaron Fox is on this side.
No, De'Aaron number five. Fox is on the other side.
Yeah, he's on this side. Yeah. He's the only one left. You've got Buddy Hield. He's in Philadelphia. Harry Giles Jr. He's been all over the NBA. He's with the Lakers, averaging 1 point a game. You got Bogdanovich. He's with the Hawks. They have a play-in tonight. You got Marvin Bagley Jr. He's with Jordan Poole in Washington. It just goes to show you, it takes a lot to stick in the NBA. It takes a lot to stick with the team. And you can have potential and be young, but the superstars make it through. And I think De'Aaron Fox is a superstar.
All it takes is one season. To be honest, look at Grayson Allen. Like, yeah, he had a career year this year for the Suns. I think they benefited greatly from Bradley Beal being on that team. Like, in terms of closeouts and opportunities, he shot well from three, but he... 5 years, 75 mil. It's great. Like, it takes 1 year, but you have to have that 1 year. And that's what's hard.
It takes the year, but it also takes the system. That was like a perfect system for Grayson Allen.
Yeah. And going back to Keegan Murray, I think there's Malcolm Brogdon's another player where I would think they're synonymous, but I think based on that game last night, Keegan Murray, obviously, as Malcolm Brogdon's going to be a soft piece for the Blazers. Maybe Keegan Murray, to your point, might be the guy to build around in Sacramento moving forward. All right. NBA playoffs anymore?
Yeah, I want to talk about potential first-round upsets. Now, as of today, Wednesday, we still have the Heat. They have to play the Sixers. The Bulls have to play the Hawks. But it's the East. No one cares about that. Potential upsets in the first round. I'm going to fast forward. It does not matter if the Heat get the 7 seed or the 8 seed. The Heat will win their first round playoff. If the Heat win and they're a 7, they get the Knicks. The Knicks don't have Julius Randle. The Heat have the Knicks number. The Heat have Tyler Hero back. Bam. They got Scary Terry. They're healthy. They play different defense. Heat culture. The Heat lose and somehow play the Celtics. The Heat also win. The Celtics do not want to see the Heat. The Heat have beat the Celtics year in and year out. That is my first upset. My second upset, I thought hard about the 3-6. So in the West, it's the T-Wolves versus the Suns. I'm a little scared with the Suns, but I'm going to stick with Ant-Man because I always said Ant-Man is the guy, and I think he'll show that. So I'm going to go to, the Bucks Pacers?
That's what everyone's saying. So
with Upset Giannis, City, Indiana.
Yeah, with Giannis, I heard Caitlin Clark might moonlight for the Pacers in that series, so we got that. But yeah, everyone's saying the Bucks without Giannis won't win that series.
I think with Giannis, they still won't win that series.
Yeah, it's another tough series. So Miles Turner, Halliburton, Pacers are sneaky good. And the Bucks are so propped up by 3, right? There's DiVincenzo maybe is your support, complimentary supporting cast.
He's in New York.
Sorry. Who's in?
Chris Middleton.
There you go. You have Middleton. You have Dame. And so, and then Giannis. So when one of those guys are hurt.
There's a lot going in Milwaukee. I know the media doesn't know everything, but when the media knows a little bit, that means there's a lot more going on. They fired their coach because Giannis didn't like the coach. The Giannis-Dame two-man thing really hasn't materialized. And I think Doc Rivers is going to be the next scapegoat. I think that team is headed for an early exit. Give me the Pacers. Pacers are a high-scoring offense. The reason they fired their first coach because of defense. They're not going to play any defense in this series. Giannis is banged up. Dame is just kind of like, I don't know about this. I'd rather be in Miami. Bucks are out.
I like the Clippers, man, series. No matter, I think that's the best series in the West, at least for the first round. I do find some interest in the Suns Timberwolves, but Clippers.
Let's go back to Clippers. That is a great series. We do not know what Clippers team is going to show up. Is Kawhi healthy? Is he not? He's missing games. Is it going to be the Paul George of the regular season? Is it going to be playoff P where you can't hit a shot? Yeah. And James Harden, we all know how he is in the playoffs. This is a legacy series for Paul George and James Harden.
Legacy series.
Legacy series.
Just the series.
Yeah.
I mean, they can rewrite their legacy one way or the other and then fail the next series and it doesn't matter.
This is a legacy playoff.
There you go.
For Harden and Paul George. Not just this series. The whole playoffs.
This is why Harden's there. I mean, this is why, they were built so Kawhi is fickle, let's be honest.
I feel like Kawhi doesn't want to play. Either that, there's something going on.
He's the
Rendon
of the NBA. Let's be honest. And so you look at this, and then you got a Dallas Mavericks team who's Luka and Kyrie are just having fun. I think that's in it. I mean, they go probably, 8-9 deep?
Yeah.
I mean, they're deep and versus Clippers are probably going to have 7, 6, 7 maybe out there on any given night, maybe a little deeper, but you're right. I can give you that. Harden, you got Harden, Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi, if he's back. I mean, that's an all-star team back 3 years ago.
2010 all-star team.
Okay, 5 years ago. No. Whatever you want to say. Who wins, though? Who wins that series?
I don't trust the Clippers. Just like I don't trust that person coming up, knocking on my door in the middle of the day to sell me something, I do not trust the Clippers. I think Kawhi is going to get a little banged up. Playoff P is going to play like Playoff P. And I do like Ty Lue. I think he's one of the best coaches in the game. But give me Luka. Luka magic. He does it against the Suns. He does it against the Clippers. Now he's got Kyrie. And the Mavs are playing D with Gafford. Lively may be back. You've got PJ Washington. You've got Timmy Hardaway Jr. Give me the Mavs. Give me the Mavs the first series. Give me the Mavs to the Western Conference Finals.
Ooh, yeah. As soon as Cuban sells, they're good again, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Enough about the NBA playoffs. We got NBA playoffs. I mean, when's the finals? Like early July?
It's right before your birthday. It's like the June 8th, June 9th weekend. So when we are in Nebraska celebrating your birthday, we can head over to OKC and help them hoist up the trophy at the local Hooters in Oklahoma City.
All right, I want to tease the NFL draft. The NFL draft's coming up.
Next Thursday.
The lead into the draft is, I mean, it started as soon as the Super Bowl was over, essentially. And it's largely due to the QB class that we have. So we have six quarterbacks. We are going to have another segment during our NFL draft preview where I want to do some comparisons and contrasts from another draft class. But for the sake of today, there's also a very good wide receiver draft class, somewhat top heavy, but I want you to give me, you are the GM for three teams, different teams.
All right.
You have picks 1 and 2, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, considerably. Give me your first quarterback and first wide receiver off the board. Second quarterback and second wide receiver off the board. Or it could be based on pairings and third quarterback and third wide receiver off the board.
You want it right now?
Yeah.
First quarterback is Caleb Williams.
Okay.
Who are you first wide receiver?
Like, this is like food and wine pairings. Here you go.
First wide receiver is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
Second quarterback. So wait, Washington has the 2, Pats have the 3. They say Luke May, they say Jaden Daniels. I'll go Jaden Daniels at 2.
Okay.
Pair him wide receiver. It's the guy from LSU. Is it Neighbors?
Neighbors.
Okay, now I gotta go 3 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
3 would be Pat. Do they want to draft Luke May, who could be like mac and cheese? I guess I got to go Luke May there, because I just don't think J.J. McCarthy will jump up there, Bo Nix or Michael Penix will jump up there. So I'll go Luke May 3. Wide receiver? I mean, I'm a West Coast guy. This is a West Coast pod. I got to go my boy, Rome Odunze from Washington.
As you go through those,
did I miss anyone?
No, you did not. I think you hit it on the head. I think you have your upper echelon of tier quarterbacks, which is Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. And then you have your upper echelon of wide receivers, which are the three you just mentioned in Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, and Rome Odunze. Crazy thing is like, that's a good pairing. Like, you, not that any one team's going to get both those players, but you look at those are elite, in my opinion. Elite players come in right away. Like, I'm drafting them in fantasy drafts, you know, like there's value around all those teams or all those players. The thing is, we all know they all don't hit. So of those top three you just mentioned, in both wide receiver and quarterback, who has the highest probability of not hitting?
Are we saying not hitting in year one for fantasy or not hitting in their career?
We all know there's some things happen throughout a career, either injury, either not the right system, either.
All three of those quarterbacks do not hit.
All three.
All three. do not hit.
Why?
System, personnel, coach. Whoever gets drafted third in New England, I just don't know if I love the Jerod Mayo hire because of diversity, and I think he deserves it. But I don't think he's an offensive-minded coach, and this is an offensive-minded league, and you need to be in the right system. Look at – say what you want about Mac and Cheese and say what you want about Justin Fields. They were in a bad system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if any of them were in – this is going back against anything I've ever said. If they played – I won't say it because I don't want to be added. If they played for the Rams, let's say, you know – if they played even for LaFleur, that's a better system. That's an offensive-minded coach. I think they would still be average quarterbacks, but they would be better. So whoever gets drafted in New England, not going to work out. Washington, I mean, it's the same kind of thing there. Like, and the Bears are just a mess. So I think those three organizations are heading the wrong direction, and those quarterbacks don't have enough around them. Marvin Harrison Jr., stud. He's a hit. Locked and loaded.
If he goes to Arizona, I think Kyler Murray's resurgence is there. If Kyler played well in the last 3-4 games that he was actually in, not great, but not like something where you write him off this upcoming season, Marvin Harrison Jr. would do big things in Arizona, in my opinion. And I'll agree with you on
kind of this. Williams, he does have – who do they have now? They have Keenan Allen. They have – who did they get from Charlotte? Who's their, they have DJ Moore, and then they signed a running back. So if he misses
– if Caleb Williams misses, like, they – Chicago's doing everything they can to make this a soft landing for Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Like, bringing in weapons. Like, DJ Moore was a phenomenal wide receiver last year with an average quarterback. And Keenan Allen, I mean, can just catch the ball. He's
every third down.
He's the Clay Thompson of the NFL.
Third and Keenan.
I'll be interested to see. I think the draft day is going to be, just with the quarterbacks, wacky things happen, right? Teams want to move up. Guys don't get drafted. Mac Jones is sitting in the very, very back and all of a sudden comes out, pick 25. Like, all these things could play out.
I want to see where Michael Penix Jr. ends up. And let me play out the scenario. Vikings have number 11. Raiders have 13. Both need quarterbacks. Seahawks have 16. Geno Smith is under contract for 2 more years, I believe. 2024, 2025. Michael Penix play for UW. I would love to see him land in the Seahawks. Maybe learn a year under Geno and take over the helm. I want Penix in the West Coast and in the Pacific Northwest Coast. What do you think about Penix for the Seahawks? Listen, at 16.
At Ryan Grubb is the new OC. So it will all be telling. So either we're going to see Grubb really like Penix and what he did for him. Obviously, got him to a national title. Or you're going to see Grubb go in an ego stance. I can do that with anyone. Give me any quarterback. Give me Geno Smith. Give me Sam Howell. I just think if they pull the trigger, it's a reflection of what they see in Geno and Sam. If they do not, it's a reflection of what Ryan Grubb believes he can do with Geno and Sam. So it's my system will work with anyone, or I need Michael Penix to make my system work to get to an NCAA championship. I everyone here would go bonkers. Like, if you want a storyline in butts and seats, like, draft Michael Penix. It's no doubt. All right. 30 minutes of fun on a Wednesday morning. We got some big things. We got the draft coming up, NBA playoffs, MLB's in full swing. Dodgers are who they are. Just give them the title now. Baseball's picking up. We're getting into summer. Spring into summer.
Can't wait. Kentucky Derby's coming up. WNBA's coming up. We're going to go to an Aces game. We'll even go out to Indiana. See
Aces fever, please. Aces fever. Oh, my gosh. How much are those tickets going to go for? Just bananas.
Yeah.
See Kelsey Plum D'ing up on just little forearm shivers. pokes to the ribs. Welcome to the WNBA, Caitlin.
It will be interesting to see if some of the WNBA superstars go after Caitlin. I'm sure they will, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she'll struggle just a little bit early on, but she's good enough. She's smart enough. She'll figure it out.
Yeah. She's got to see that coming, though, a little bit, right? I think there was a story. I was listening to Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi on their alt cast.
I was listening to that, too.
Yeah, where Sue Bird talks about she came into the league, Diana Taurasi knocked the wind out of her and pushed her out of bounds. you know, like that's going to happen. But overall, Caitlin Clark's done a phenomenal job for women's sports in totality. But
for all of sports, I would say for basketball, like we're talking about this. Like we haven't talked a lot about WNBA on this podcast. She's bringing excitement to basketball. Yeah,
exactly. You're going to see a lot more Caitlin Clark jerseys this Christmas and so forth. More focus on the WNBA. I mean, I think what everyone saw, there's so many texts going around. The women's game, South Carolina, Iowa game, and even the Iowa-UConn game were, I think, more entertaining and more engaging to watch than any of the games I saw during the NCAA tournament.
Well, also, I read somewhere Sabrina Ionescu has her signature shoe. And it's like the most popular shoe in the NBA. Yeah. Like all these NBA players are wearing it because it's similar to the Kobe shoe. So like there's just this crossover with like it's not women's basketball, men's basketball. It's just basketball. And people just want to watch good basketball.
Yeah. They won't watch us play basketball then. All right. Big Ben and Kay Wynn. Find us wherever you're on your social media. That is, I was about to say, well, it's Threads, it's X, it's TikTok, and it's Instagram at Big Ben K Wynn _. Also, check us out wherever you're getting your podcast. That's Stitcher, iHeartRadio. That is your Spotify. That is Apple iTunes as well. Make sure you're checking us out. Like, subscribe, follow, 5 stars. We're done.
I'm headed to Mexico City tomorrow.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. Favorite taco?
I'll report back.
No.
I built out an agenda. I don't know yet. I haven't eaten the taco.
Favorite taco going in, though. What are you looking like? Is there a particular taco you're looking towards?
Yeah, your boy Lennon told me about one. I think it's Los Alexis. Okay. And that's one. And Taqueria Gabriel. That's two. And Don Juan. There's three. There's actually, and then there's this street vendor on a corner. I got to wake up at 9 to get a porta, and I'm going to do it. I love tacos.
All right. Tacos for the draft. Enjoy. Have fun. Safe travels.
Boom.
Boom.